And we are back. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Macro Golf. You are joining me and Joe in the freezing cold of England as we try to keep warm and try and keep our golf going. I was standing in the range, absolutely freezing my tits off earlier, trying to find the swing, trying to just keep moving and remind my body what hitting balls was feeling like. I don't know about yourself.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. But we're going to talk about some stuff we can do in the warm, in the gym, that's going to potentially help a little bit with the golf as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. There's always stuff we can do to continue moving the needle. So, yeah. But standing at the driving range in the freezing cold is probably not.
I mean, the sun was out. The sun was out. So I can't complain. But yeah, we're going to talk today about our top five core training tips for golfers. Some really interesting points that we've got. We've got some ones that we definitely agreed with and some ones that we've had to leave off the list, unfortunately. But we'll kind of talk about everything around training the trunk for golf, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, avoid certain things. And Joe, do you want to get us started? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's dive straight. Well, what we're not going to do is we're not going to put them in order, right? So we're not going to say that this is the most important and this is the fifth important. So we're going to shout them out. Let's start with one that I suppose talks a little bit about one of the reasons why we might do some core training, which is to start to activate some of the areas around the trunk, some of these smaller muscles, some of the muscles that support the spine, some of the muscles that can help better stabilize the body through different ranges of motion, movements. And we discussed obviously before coming to this podcast on what these five would be, and we both agreed on this one that we think that for a lot of core exercises that are done, a lot of the ones that are done in slow movements, controlled movements, we think is really, really important. One of our best tips is to really focus on the activation, control, and engagement and bracing of that movement before starting that movement. So exercises like the dead bug, exercises like the Palloff press, we really believe that there's a lot of benefit in pre-activating and engaging and bracing all of these core muscles before executing that move. And that's just, yeah, definitely improves the effectiveness and efficiency of the move tenfold.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with both of them. I actually use them in our screening process just to see. Typically, if I've spotted some sort of posture deficiency, get them over to a Palloff press, get them to do it, ask them then where they feel like they're working or what muscles are being used. Typically, you can see straight away that they'll feel that in the lower back, which is exactly the opposite of what the muscles are that we're actually trying to engage with a Palloff press. So the simple cue of just kind of tucking the hips under, squeezing the glutes, tensing the core a little bit, redo the exercise, that are completely different exercise. Now I can actually feel my core. And exactly the same cues can be used for dead bug. And I just feel like with core training, it's so easy to do thousands of repetitions at a really poor quality without actually moving the needle at all. Whereas if I'm doing the dead bug and I'm tensing everything, arms, legs, my core is fully engaged, I'm only doing about 16 reps tops. And that is me like, then I don't really need a break. You should be able to really feel it in your core. If you're lying, for those of you that don't know what a dead bug is, essentially, imagine you're just lying on your back, arms up in front of your chest, knees up, and you rotate one arm back, one leg forward. And we just move opposition there. If you try it now and without engaging your core, you could just do it for hours without actually feeling anything, and then try doing what we've just said and engage the core. The difference is massive. So that setup position for a lot of these core exercises is huge.
Yeah, and I think what it also does is it helps start the process of actually engaging and activating these muscles for day-to-day use as well. I think if you think of like a Palloff press and a dead bug, these exercises are actually meant to engage and start to stimulate these muscles. So if we can't even feel it when we're doing an exercise that's specifically meant to stimulate those areas, then what chance have we got when we're moving around in day-to-day life or potentially maybe even swinging the golf swing, right? So I think the process of going through some engagement in terms of some conscious thought of what am I trying to do here? What am I trying to brace? What is correct neutral posture? How do I switch these things on? Just going to make the exercise way more effective, but also I think you've got a better chance of getting the carryover to day-to-day life as well in terms of posture, movement, picking the kids up off the floor, whatever it is you're doing, in much better braced postures as well. So even in terms of that injury risk of other things you're doing as well, I think it's just going to be, the value is just going to be so much greater for bracing and engaging and activating first.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more there. Couldn't agree more. Awesome. Our next one, I want to move us on to something a bit left field that maybe a lot of people wouldn't think about with core training, but it's actually just your compound movements. So it is your squats, it's your deadlifts, your overhead press, maybe a little bit your bench press. But bracing your core correctly there and doing those big movements, the studies have shown that they're just as effective in engaging the core as something as isolated as other core exercises, basically. And they're things that you're going to do anyway, hopefully during your sessions. They're the things that you're going to start your workouts with, is those big movements. Do them correctly and play around with some unilateral lifting. So if you're doing a deadlift, rather than holding it in both hands, just hold a weight into one arm and trying to keep your core engaged there. There's huge potentials for a lot of you guys to make from just big compound lifts, essentially.
Yeah, it's a really good one, this, because I think if anyone does a deadlift or if anyone does a squat, there'll be some level of core engagement to perform the exercise that will happen. But when you've purposely look to, again, similar to the first one we gave, when you consciously brace and constantly engage and purposefully make that contraction, one, you can feel that a lot better in the exercise, so that's going to help. Two, it's going to help brace you better and help protect you against, you know, picking up small little injuries and squats and deadlifts and different things, but also you're going to be stronger. And that's what people don't realize, actually, when they learn to brace properly or they learn to load their breast properly, they're so much stronger. Like there's a classic analogy of being able to crush a Coke can that's empty or a Coke can that's filled and not been opened, right? Like if we can teach ourselves to brace correctly and load correctly, we don't only just protect the spine and protect our movement and move better, we're also so much stronger. So I think there's so much, it's almost like a, why would you not follow this route? But yeah, the effect of big lifts, I think pull-ups is a big one as well that gets forgotten with this.
Oh, interesting.
But I think the effect of bracing for big lifts, by big lifts we don't just necessarily mean heavy, we just mean, you know, compound movements typically. I think there's it gets underplayed, the effect of kind of core engagement, core recruitment needed for that. And I think as golfers, it's, you know, we don't always have that much time. So if you don't have that much time to do core exercises, specific core exercises, then if you can just make your normal strength training more efficient in that sense, then yeah, you're going to kind of get double bang for your buck.
100%. I've just been through a phase where I've done very little specified core training in my training. Everything has been around the compound movements and bracing properly. And one tip there for you guys is treat every lift as if it is a huge PR, basically. Treat your warm-up squats as if that is what some huge weight for you, and you'll just get so much better at bracing your core, at understanding, right, now my core is engaged, now my trunk's engaged and so much more solid. Don't just wait for your bigger lifts to do it. Treat every lift as if it's a PR attempt. Awesome. So compounds, the next one we're going to go to, which is probably a little bit left field again, is actually not rotating with your core training. We're going to talk about anti-rotation, aren't we?
Yeah, and the list of this is huge. And I think this is typical, right? You're a golfer, you want to start doing some work on your golf game or body or whatever it is in the gym. And the classic thing to do is to set up a cable around chest height and start doing some rotations, right? That's going to be pretty common and it's something you see a lot of. But I did a bit of a video on this recently and I kind of got me thinking that we don't actually just rotate in the golf swing. Rotation is, we see it as rotational, but we don't actually just rotate. When we rotate, we also tilt and we also extend and then we also flex, extend, tilt in the other ways as we rotate through. And also through that whole movement of rotation, flexion, extension, tilting is also anti-rotation and the ability to actually brace and contract against other segments. So if we're just doing rotational work, we are definitely cutting ourselves short. And I don't know if this is something you program a lot for your clients, Sam, but just being able to expose the spine to all the movements that it needs to be able to produce in day-to-day life and in the golf, that is all core training, in my opinion. And we can definitely include exercises that expose us to all these positions and movements as part of our core training.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I'd say actually you're really good at some of these exercises that do look a little bit left field and do get people moving in different planes that definitely they're not used to, but actually they're doing thousands and thousands of repetitions when they're swimming a golf club in those same exact planes and same exact movements. So if we can kind of safely replicate them and try to introduce some strength training there, I think if you're not doing it, you're leaving plenty on the table for gains that you could be making. I mean, we've already mentioned the paddle press is probably one of our favourite anti-rotation exercises, but then there's tons of other stuff out there that's fantastic that I love doing for clients. And I feel like, especially for my quicker guys, that you're trying to really move the needle at accelerating, the ability to decelerate and resist that rotation in parts of the body is so important for injury prevention. That is so, yeah. So
and if you think make sure you're if we're keeping gonna... that. 100%. If you think that if you're going to be whipping the hips through, they're always going to be the first thing to move. They're going to whip ahead. They're going to get ahead of the torso, going to get ahead of shoulders, head of hands, head of arms, head of everything. So we've got to be able to have those hips yank on something to slow them down and actually allow the next segment, which would be the torso, to actually pull on those hips and then create the rotation. So if you're only working on rotating the torso and the hips together, or only working on rotating the torso from a kind of a horizontal rotation position, you're not really replicating what's going to happen in the golf swing, which in the golf swing is going to be a whipping of the hips and then an anti-rotation portion happening whilst doing tilt, whilst doing those other positions. So it's just one piece of the puzzle, but it seems like it takes up, you know, I mean, rotation is one piece of the puzzle, and it seems like it takes up a big portion of people's core training, especially the rotational training, for sure. I want to check something in the Macro Golf app while you're saying the next thing. I'm going to check something.
There we go. Right, so I'm going to move on. The next one we're going to talk about, guys, which is something that's really important that a lot of people miss off, is making your core training actually explosive. The golf swing, as we know, as we've spoken about tons and tons and tons, is an explosive movement. It isn't a slow controlled like a paddle press. We it's a fast twitch muscle fibers, so we've got to train our body to move that way. We've got to use those type 2 fibers to replicate as much force as possible. So when we're talking about explosive stuff, we're probably talking about some med ball slams, some wall throws, tons of different other upper body movements. I love just getting a resistance band sometimes and just rotating as quickly as possible, really get it firing and not worrying too much about where everything, just let the body sequence itself. But having some explosive training in your core training is so important, especially if perhaps you're looking to gain a bit more speed and power.
Yeah, and I'd say this is probably the one time where the bracing is not as important, right? You're not going to stand and kind of like make sure you're braced before you then, you know, explosively throw a medicine ball to the side of you or explosively rotate and jump onto something. But hopefully the work that you've done on activating and engaging and stabilizing and all of that good stuff that you've done allows you to then not have to concentrate on this stuff, and it happens automatically when you start to move these power movements in. So again, it's a good point. I think again, it's one piece of the puzzle. Everything we're talking about is one piece of it, but I think it's a big thing that people miss. So if we're giving people tips, include some explosive rotational work, like, and explosive core work as well. And I think that's a huge part of it.
The key for the explosive training to get it right is just keeping that intent high, making sure you're if you are doing the movement, don't worry about trying to lift a heavy medicine ball, keep it nice and light and just keep it, throw it down, move as quickly as possible. That's more important on the explosive side. It's like we said with the speed training, it's just about intent here, just about the intent, moving as quickly as you can. What were you checking within the app?
I found the answer to what I was looking at. So I just done a quick filter on the app, and we have apparently 76 exercises that we've tagged as core exercises, of which only, how many do you reckon are simple rotation, like horizontal rotation exercises? Out of the 76 core exercises?
Well, we filmed most of them, so I'm trying to wrap my brain quickly. 76, how many rotational? There's going to be 3.
Yeah, there's only 4.
4, okay.
So there's only 4 out of those 76 exercises are simply a horizontal rotation. So we've got a banded horizontal rotation, we've got a dumbbell rotation, kneeling, and then we've got 2 different cable variations. One is a full cable rotation and one is a just upper body only. Yep. The rest of those core exercises are all doing something different. They're either challenging the body with some kind of balanced stimulus to engage it. They're working on a different plane in terms of being able to work from high to low, low to high, adding tilt, adding rotation in that way. They are either working on anti-rotation, working on stabilization of flexion extension, million different things that are going on there. But yeah, only seven from the 76, only four of those are standard rotational exercises. Yeah. So it just shows kind of, you know, I'll just check that now. It's not as if we'd led that up for this podcast. Like, it just shows that the world of core training is so much wider than a horizontal cable rotation, basically.
Absolutely. 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 Joe, I'm going to leave the top, number five to you, as this was your one that I didn't really think about, but I think it's a really, really good point.
If I can remember it, total volume. Was it this one?
Volume. Total volume. That's the one. No? That's the one.
It was. Yeah. Okay. good. I didn't have it written down. So yeah, this is something that I've had to start thinking more about recently. Since I've noticed that golfers are spending a lot more time hitting golf balls, I think the time of us being able to hit golf balls is increasing. I think golfers are hitting more golf balls now, and they're also training more, which is good stuff. But when we do that, we need to kind of have a look at our total volume that's going through the body. And what we want to try and avoid is, well, let's say, for example, if you're a golfer who's hitting 500-600 balls a week, which is not that unusual anymore, strangely, we need to make sure that we're then not also overloading on rotational work. So doing things like pal-off press, anti-rotational work, all of that is not going to add as much overload to the body. But doing things like hitting 500, 600 golf balls a week, and then also explosive medicine balls, and also cable rotations, and also other rotational power work, it's just going to start to overload the system a little bit much. And what's already a volatile system in terms of the spine and the way that we rotate and the way that we tilt, the way that we expose it to potentially some vulnerable positions, we just need to make sure that we're doing a lot more stabilization and bracing work than more rotational work if we're already hitting a lot of golf balls. On the reverse of that, if you're not hitting a lot of golf balls and you don't have the opportunity to practice a lot, feel free to load in with a load of rotational work, explosive throws, explosive movements, and keep your body exposed to that movement. I don't know if you've ever had it, but I've definitely had it where I've not been able to play for a few weeks, whether I've been ill, been away, and not held a golf club for 2-3 weeks, gone back and played, gone to the range, and felt it in my body that I wasn't, you know, accustomed to that movement anymore. So yeah, just maintaining some rotation in the gym can help with that. But for most people, it's going to be a case of managing that load and not overdoing the rotational volume.
Yeah, no, really, really key point. So it's as something I'll add to that as well. So as well as kind of keeping track of what you are doing, is just being aware not to ramp up volume in a huge spike. So if you are just hitting 50 balls and used to your normal routine, then don't try to do two more workouts a week and add another 200-300 balls a week. Like, you're not going to get hurt, but you're increasing your chances of getting injured a lot more. So we can look to increase total volume, and it's what we work with a lot with clients, both lifting and golf wise. It's one of our main things at Macro Golf, is we want golfers to play as much golf as possible, to be able to hit as many balls as you can a week. It's what we pride ourselves in, right? But we do that smartly and carefully and slowly. You've got to ramp it up. I know a lot of guys are looking into getting new drivers. It's that time of year when they've all come out and everyone's like, right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to test them all, I'm going to hit 500 balls of every single driver. And it's like, whoa, just take it slow and steady, because you've just had Christmas, you've not been hitting any balls, and now you're going to go do something. It's just being smart, being careful there.
Yeah, or I'm going to start speed training and I've got a new driver and I'm going to start going to the gym because it's January, and then suddenly we've just like quadrupled our rotational load in the space of a week. So yeah, I think it's just been a bit sensible about it, and you know, we can always tell people to be sensible, doesn't mean they're going to be sensible, but I think just making people be a little bit aware of their rotational load is just something to consider, especially if you're susceptible to lower back pain. Even more importantly, also, if you lack a lot of mobility in your torso and you lack a lot of mobility in your hips, even more reason to take a little bit more caution with rotational load.
Yeah, absolutely. So those were our top five in no order that we both agreed on. And then we've got a couple of ones that we still think are really important but didn't quite make that list, which we'll just go through quickly. And one of them was just, when are you doing that core training? Are you going to walk into the gym straight away and start doing some dead bugs and pad off press and medicine balls at the start of the workout, or do you do it in the middle, or when do you do it? And really, we should be doing it at the end of the workout. We should get the big lifts on first, when we've got slightly more energy, focus on that, and then towards the end of the sessions, that's when we should start to be doing our core work.
Yeah, and to take that even further, again, it depends on the type of core work, right? So it might be that your session might involve some activation at the start. You know, that's different to what we're talking about here. Maybe you do some core activation work, and maybe there's some exercises you do that help you activate your core so that you're going to, you know, perform better in your session. That is completely different to what we're saying for this. What we're saying is, you know, the fatiguing core work, the stuff that's going to maybe cause a little bit of muscle fatigue is going to be, is going to be kept towards the end of the session typically. We had a little bit of a conversation on sit-ups as well, sit-ups and crunches in terms of a standard exercise. We don't want to set Sam off on that because he's going to speak about an hour on sit-ups.
But I absolutely hate sit-ups, crunches, as a core exercise. I spoke to you earlier about it, Joe. They really grind my gears, and they always have done as a PT. I think part of the massive reason is that most people can't do them correctly, so we end up just doing way more harm than good and just wasting time at the same time. And people thinking, oh great, I'm gonna get a six pack because I can do a sit-up, or like all of that stuff completely grinds me. But that you're not engaging your core properly, most people, when they're doing a sit-up or a crunch, we just end up crunching our neck over and it's no good.
Yeah, and I think the other thing as well is a lot of the time we need to think about what the purpose is of why we're trying to do those core exercises as well. And I think this is the classic thing with the sit-up or with the crunch. People believe that, you know, if I do all of these sit-ups and crunch, I'm going to get my six-pack or I'm going to do whatever. But let's think, really, the core is no real different to any other muscle. All we're doing is just going to increase the strength, increase the size, increase the, you know, the efficiency or the way that muscle's moved. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to start burning fat away from that area. So I think the sit-up just has a strange connotation with, you know, appearance, the crunch as well. And as Sam said, typically people just don't perform it very well. They just don't kind of have the correct technique. They don't engage the muscles in the right way and end up just kind of wasting a bit of time. So if you are looking to improve in that movement, so if you're trying to improve in spinal flexion and you're trying to start to work on the abdomen area, then there's better movements like some movements in Pilates or different ways of bracing that are going to allow you to train the muscles and train those positions in a much more efficient way.
Rather than just I think
shoving your toes under Pilates the sofa stuff and knocking out 200 sit-ups.
The Pilates stuff is absolutely fantastic to teach people how to properly engage their core. I really went through when I did my back loads of slow engagement stuff that I probably hadn't really done before, but God, I've never felt my core was stronger. The focus that they do have in Pilates at just making sure everything is engaged before you start any movement, like just bracing the core and just breathing is absolutely fantastic. Like really, really great. That's actually just brought me up to one more point I'm just going to add, is when you are bracing your core, make sure one, you can still breathe, and two, that you're not like squeezing the out of it that you just can't rotate. You don't want to brace it so much that like you just stiffen up, because we want our core to be engaged in the golf swing, but we still want that full turn in the spine, in the hips, in the trunk. Everything needs to still be able to rotate. You don't need to just go, yeah, my core's engaged and I can't move anywhere, because that's just also not functional for what we need as golfers, right?
Yeah, and that again completely changes depending on what we're trying to do, right? Like if you're trying to swing the golf club or trying to throw a medicine ball to your side, the way that you brace and the way that you use your core muscles is going to be completely different to you picking 200 kilos up off the floor. Like our body's designed to brace and stabilize and move in different ways. And for example, if you're trying to throw something, or if you're trying to rotate, or if you're trying to swing a golf club, your body will brace and use those muscles in the correct way to allow for the pliability and the correct elastic power to produce that movement. If you're trying to pick something, you know, 200 kilo deadlift, then your body's going to try everything it can possibly do to not allow your spine to move. That's the purpose, right? So we're going to lock everything in, everything's going to brace, everything's going to engage, and that that body is going to try and reduce the amount of spinal rotation, spinal movement, because that's going to limit your ability to lift. And it's going to put the spine at risk. So when we talk about spinal bracing, when we talk about activation, when we talk about these things, it really is task specific. And what we're trying to say is that if you kind of follow these tips, it'll improve the training of your core, muscles. And then you can then just apply that better to whatever sport or activity or whatever it is you then need to go away and do, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to summarize there, we've spoken about having some sort of explosive core training in your program, some sort of anti-rotation and rotating different planes that perhaps just isn't horizontal. We said, right, first, before you're even doing anything, making sure the trunk is engaged, the core is engaged properly. We're speaking about our total volume to make sure that we're not doing thousands of swings and then thousands of rotations in the gym. And then the last one that we've spoken about is actually you're gaining so much from compound lifting and unilateral lifting on core training that people don't really think about. I often ask people, like, are you doing any core training? And they never speak about any of that stuff. And actually, like, that's a lot of the good stuff. And you're making tons of progress core training wise there.
Yeah. And if you are stuck on what exercises you should do or how you should do that or how it programs, it's all there. It's all there in the MacroGolf app. The link's in the show notes for here underneath us. And yeah, and now you can just do what I did during this podcast, which is just filter out for any core exercises. As I said, at the moment we've got 76 in there. You could then filter based on whatever equipment you have access to. So if you have no equipment, if you've got a capable machine, if you've got a resistance band, just filter out for whatever equipment you've got. And then all of our core exercises that we would recommend are in there with four demonstrations, most of them demonstrated by Sam, because yeah, he knows better for core than me.
And one last thing, guys, we're actually running a week's mobility challenge starting from next, when is it, Monday?
Monday. Yeah, starts Monday.
Monday the 22nd.
We're going to start on Monday the 22nd. We're going to run for 7 days. We're going to do one video a day, one 10-minute video. Going to be no equipment needed. It's free to enter. And if anyone wants to enter, just send me a message on Instagram, joe_macrogolf, and I will add you to the list, and we get cracking on Monday.
Amazing. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Awesome. I think that was a really good one.
Good. Enjoy that. If anyone's got any questions or anything on core training or programming for core training, just get in touch and we'll be happy to help you guys out.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Sweet, guys. And we will catch you on the next one.